I'm going to invite Bill and Jane to come up and read for us this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and then also from the Heidelberg Catechism. So thank you so much.
Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I may save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings.
It is from the Heidel Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I'm not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil, who also watches over me in such a way that he also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Heavenly Father. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assured me of eternal life, and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm thankful Jeremy's our guest worship leader this morning, but also our guest preacher and pastor. So Jeremy, if you'd come, I'm going to pray for you and then look forward to your words to us this morning. So Father, thank you for your word from 1 Corinthians 9, but also from the Heidelberg Catechism, based on so much of your word. And now as Jeremy speaks this message to us that others have heard as well, renew him this morning as he speaks. Give him energy, strength, vitality, but also the Holy Spirit's ministry on him and through him and in him. Lord, may we hear your word to us this morning through Jeremy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, and thank you so much for welcoming me here this morning. It is my privilege to be able to speak this morning on behalf of a couple of organizations, and the message that I will be sharing with you is a message that I have shared right across the country, and prepared this with a little bit of help from the Canadian Ministries Director of the Christian Reformed Church, Reverend Darren Rorda. And so just a little background. This is a picture of May 30th of this year of my wife Lara, Isaiah, and Kiara. And we are pictured there in Burlington, Ontario. I should just say our home is London, Ontario, which is about an hour and a half from Burlington. But Burlington, Ontario is the kind of head office for the Christian Reformed Church denomination, a part of what this congregation is, as well as the head office for World Renew. And so all of the people pictured behind there, half of them are from the Christian Reformed Church denomination, and about half of them are from World Renew. And they commissioned us and started us off on this journey. And that lovely motorhome you see in the back, we affectionately call Mabel. Mabel was donated to us by a wonderful church member in London, Ontario, for the use for this fundraising tour. So I guess just a little bit more about myself. Now, this evening, I have the privilege of sharing a story and a number of songs. I've been a semi-professional songwriter after studying music at Redeemer University College for some years. And so this evening, I'm going to give you more background about myself. But for now, I think you kind of get an idea of who I am, a worship leader, a speaker, and yeah, called by God on this mission, which has been tiring at times. I feel like this is a safe place, which is awesome. Most churches are, but yeah, it's we're over 4 months on the road now. You know, it's been the trip of a lifetime and an adventure, but it has been tiring. And so we just cherish your continued prayers as we move forward. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about worship, the word worship. And the reason why God has really put that on my heart is because worship is kind of what I have been paid to do. Before being called out on more of a national tour level, I was working at a local church as a full-time worship pastor. And the word worship, we talked a lot about. And worship was something like that word meant a lot to me. And so this morning there are three questions that I'd like to address regarding worship. And the first is, what is worship? The second is, what is the word and? And the third is, where should we draw the line? Where is the line? So let's just start at the beginning. Number one, what is worship? Well, that all depends on who you ask. The dictionary defines it as this: the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, the worship of God, like what we are doing here this morning. Perhaps you've heard the saying, life is worship, and I believe that to be absolutely true. But this morning, I'm going to categorize worship for the sake of our understanding. Two main directions of worship, even though that we find out that this is technically, theologically not quite right, because there is no separation in our worship. But for our human understanding, and for me at least, it's very helpful to articulate. And so as a teaching tool, we're going to start talking first about vertical worship. So vertical worship, this morning I'm going to define that as an upward and inward motion of praise to our Creator God, singing as we are this morning, our own personal devotions, essentially our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We will call this vertical worship, and perhaps vertical worship might be familiar to some of you. There's a band out there kind of that does worship songs. They're called Vertical Worship, and they've got this symbol of everyone pointing up, or sort of these arrows pointing up. The second form of worship that I want to talk about this morning is horizontal worship. That is a linear, directional posture towards the human life that we find ourselves in. The relationships that we have with our families and our church, our colleagues and our neighbors, seeking justice, mercy, and peace. I think I saw that right on the mission statement for Nelson Avenue, which I thought was absolutely beautiful. These are the broad strokes in which we'll be painting and describing these two directions of worship this morning. Sometimes, in order to find out what something is, when we want to define it, we have to talk about what it isn't. That's at least helpful for me, to articulate what it is not. The thing we are trying to define this morning is, it is not either or. It is not either vertical worship or horizontal worship. And yet, as a worship leader and a worship pastor and a speaker on worship, I have such difficulty with this. And let me explain what I mean. This isn't a new thing, actually. The church has been struggling with this for centuries. Here's a quote from the Reformed theologian and philosophy prof at Calvin College, James K.A. Smith. He says, "After the Reformation, and especially in the wake of modernity, wide swaths of contemporary Christianity tend to think of worship as an upward act of the people of God, who gather to offer their sacrifice of praise, expressing their gratitude and devotion to the Father with the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit." And absolutely, that is what worship is. However, friends, we know that when we reduce our faith to simply that Sunday morning experience of vertical worship, we can easily miss the call into the world, as the Catechism says right at the end, to be ready and willing from now on to live for Him. In the same breath, when the temptation is to only live out our worship in the horizontal, something that's very popular these days, and I actually myself have struggled with this a little bit as well. When we only live out our worship in the horizontal, we can miss the nourishment and we forget about perhaps the importance of this gathering every week. You know, people who think that you can be a follower of Jesus, but maybe don't place the emphasis on a church community, that doesn't work either. So to address the first question, what is worship? Here's a partial answer. Worship is a life inspired by God through Jesus Christ and the Scripture, the saints, that is us, through circumstance and through the Holy Spirit. So we'll just keep moving on here to the second question. What is and why is it important? And is a conjunction. It's an English word. A word used to connect clauses or sentences or to coordinate words in the same clause. For example, and, but, or if. But it's not just a conjunction. It's a coordinating conjunction. And that is defined as a joiner word that gives equal emphasis to the joining clause. So, my wife's laughing at me because I'm not an English person at all, and I'm teaching you guys about English, but that's okay. So let's look at the Heidelberg Catechism again, and so we have it up here, and let's see how the word "and" works in it. And because I've written music on the Catechism and I read this a lot, I'm going to flip some of the words around as I read it, and it's helpful for me to remember this. Okay, so what is your only comfort in death and in life? That I am not my own, but I belong in soul and in body, in death and in life, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly ready and willing from now on to live for Him. Perhaps most importantly, and not surprisingly, our Lord Jesus Christ summed up all of the law in a vertical and a horizontal movement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is not something new. Many of us know this. It's just so interesting how we as the church, and myself included, struggle with that sometimes, where it's just so easy to make it just about what happens in here. The word worship. So what is "and" and why is that important? I think you'll see in my life particularly why the word "and" is important more this evening. But it is important because God himself emphasized this word for us. It's all over our scripture and it's all over our lives. Vertical and horizontal, body and soul, circumstance and obedience. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. And so it's, you know, I've had this question a couple of times. Well, this is an interesting scripture to be using in a message about worship. When we think back to what was read from 1 Corinthians. But you'll see where this ties in, and it's actually very, very important, I believe. First of all, the freedom that we have in Christ, but what that means. And that brings us to our third question this morning about worship. Where should we draw the line? Is there a line, and where should we draw it in terms of worship in our lives? So we're going to look back again at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, but I'm going to read through it a little bit from the message this time, because some of the language, I get muddled up on the way that that it was translated in the NIV sometimes. So here, let's just read this through again. So Paul says, even though I am free from the demands and expectations of everyone. And just pause here. If we just think about the posture, I think Paul is acknowledging that vertical relationship, the being set free by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And then he moves immediately to horizontal. I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. I'm just going to follow along on the screen there with you, Larry. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world, and I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. And I did all of this because of the message or the gospel. I didn't just want to talk about it, but I wanted to be in on it. When I read that, I think about my time serving a local Christian Reformed Church denomination as a worship pastor in London, Ontario. And I did that for 3 years. And it was an incredibly wonderful time of ministry in my life. But I remember feeling that there was so much work to be done within the church that I was no longer meeting people who didn't know Jesus. I think that can be a struggle sometimes for people in ministry, right? And we, you know, we encourage other people that, you know, your lives are worship, and, you know, you rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. But it can be difficult sometimes when it's your job to shepherd a flock. And so this is what sort of started me really thinking about this word worship. My faith was intact. Beautiful things were happening, but there was a disconnect between the word worship here and the word worship out there. And it's always a balance, and each and every one of us perhaps struggle with that, where our and, our coordinating conjunction, connects with the world. So the question I asked was, where is the line? Where should we draw the line? And if you guys are tracking with me now, you probably are already figuring out that there really is no line. Paul gives us the answer, where to draw the line, in this passage. The answer is, because we are free Because we have freedom in Christ, we can bring ourselves anywhere, and therefore our horizontal worship is everywhere. This is a very Reformed idea. It has taken me so many years as a Christian to begin to understand this in a way where I can live it authentically. And I've spoken just a little bit about this, but all I can offer is my experience. As a songwriter in particular, not just a worship leader, but as a songwriter, I've always been more comfortable either working in the church and doing traditional worship music, or doing music outside of the church and having no connection or no conjunction or no and between them. But God has been stretching me in the last number of years to realize that just like each and every one of you have been given talents and tools, He has given me the tools as a songwriter to allow me to become like the world, like Paul is saying, become like the Jew, become like whoever, and write songs that are for everyone, not just for inside of the church, and engage with people in secular culture, but not allow that world to define or snuff out what my biggest calling is to be, which is a follower of Jesus Christ. So here's the question for you. What gifts and tools has God given you? And where do you meet the world? And whom do you need to become like in order that you can continue to rub shoulders with them, that when the Spirit chooses, He might be able to use you as a coordinating conjunction or as an and? That's what it's about, friends, because God uses His Spirit through us, doesn't He? So it kind of matters where we end up. And if we're working really, really hard to separate ourselves, perhaps we're not always in the right places. One theologian who's been influential in stretching me in this way is a man named Richard Rohr, and he says it this way. The sacred-secular divide, and so really that's kind of what we're talking about here this morning, isn't it? The sacred-secular divide is precisely what Jesus came to erase. It's just so interesting that the church has struggled with this from the very beginning, right? And so this is, you know, not a word of warning. It's really just a word of compassion and saying, listen, you know, we're human, and it's really natural for us to try and interpret things our way, but we continually have to keep coming back to Jesus, right? Each of us has been given a unique skill set where we meet with the world. Some of us are lawyers, some of us are doctors, some of us are students, teachers, farmers, mechanics, full-time parents, or retirees, and each of us has to align ourselves vertically in our worship with God, and each of us has a responsibility to seek circumstances where we can be obedient with all spheres of our horizontal lives where we are at. So, let's put up that definition for worship one more time, and I'll just read it off of the screen. Worship is a life inspired by God through Jesus Christ, Scripture, and the saints, circumstance, and the Spirit, and it requires our obedience in all directions. It's not something new, but it is something true. And I need this encouraging reminder to not just think about worship in terms of what I do vocationally, but who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, and this is going to move into a little bit of the song that we're going to sing together. And you'll actually notice, because this is a congregation who I think has sung this song before, I'm Not My Own, there's a couple of new lines in this song that are going to be recorded in the studio version that we're working on. And I hope you can see why. We are not our own, but we belong body and in soul to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are ready and willing from now on to live for Him, even when we struggle to believe or remember this or are going through times of spiritual doubt. That doesn't change what God does and who He is. Even when we are lost in desperation, like those who struggle with mental health or tragic circumstances. Even when we can't see our way through or know what the end of the journey looks like. We are not our own, and that is such a relief. This gives us hope. This gives us joy. And it gives us cause for celebration and thanks this morning as the body of Christ. And that is why we have made it here this morning. If you would have asked me at this time last year that we would even be doing this tour, this was not conceived in my mind yet. But I can see that it was conceived in God's mind. And He revealed it to us through Scripture, the saints, and circumstance. And isn't that how He always works, friends? We have been called out to share a little bit of our experience, Lara and I. She'll sing with me tonight as well, and she's really good. I married up in more ways than one, and you might find that out if you spend some time with us, actually. Actually, you went to school with Lara, didn't you? So you knew Lara before I did. I'll have some questions for you at lunchtime. Well, we have much to celebrate and highlight as the Christian Reformed Church in Canada, because God is doing great things. It's our privilege, wherever we go, to talk a little bit about worship, to remind us of this Reformed idea that life is worship. But it's also such a privilege that Lara and I and our family, we get to see what each and every church is up to. And so this morning, everywhere we go, we support a local mission. And this morning, I believe it's called, is it Journey Home or Journey for Home? It's called Journey Home. And Lara, we haven't chatted about this, but this is an organization that works with refugees and immigrants who are settling here in the Burnaby area. And that's something that's very close to our hearts. Lara used to work at a similar organization in Hamilton, Ontario. But we are thrilled that this church is a part of that. And it is my hope that, you know, as we give later on in the offering, that we can think about these people in that horizontal worship fashion, that not just financial gifts, but an openness, right? An openness as people who have been here for a longer time. Also, through World Renew, we'll learn about people who have a radically different set of circumstances, and I'll just talk a little bit about that before the offering. And we'll stand with vulnerable and marginalized people in other communities as well as our own. We'll, as the Christian Reformed Church, use our abundant resources for good in order to fulfill just a part of that whole worship command. And we will live lives of thankfulness along the way, that our God is so full of abundant grace and joy that we can rest in His promises and comfort for our lives because we belong to Him. Amen.